Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the Ultimate Men's Summit. It's your co-host, Stephen Dinan, and we are at the tail end of an incredibly powerful day and a powerful week, and thank you so much for all of you who have been on this journey with us. It's really been such a opening journey to the heart and soul of masculine consciousness, and really for all humanity to look at what do we need to do to transform and open and be our fullest selves. And our speaker tonight is a true pioneer in that. He is the author of several New York Times bestsellers, including Dancing Woolly Masters and The Seat of the Soul. He's appeared on so many different media sources, you know, dozens of times on Oprah, and he's really focused on creating a revolution of the soul that touches the heart of humanity and is based on spiritual growth, conscious choices, and a deep celebration and reverence for life. And he also does a lot of teaching work with his partner, Linda, and that's going to be one of the main focuses tonight on how to create spiritual partnership. So, Gary, thank you so much for joining the Ultimate Men's Summit.
It's a joy to be here, Stephen. I always enjoy talking with men. It's one of my favorite activities.
Great. Well, let's just jump right in with spiritual partnership, and particularly from a male angle. So maybe share a bit about your own journey into spiritual partnership first, and then we can start to distill out some of the principles and practices that men can apply in their own lives.
I'd be glad to do that. But first, I'd like to pick up on a few things that we said so that we can start on the same page. You mentioned that we're at the tail end of a great day and the tail end of a great week. But I think it's more accurate to say that there is no tail end and there is no front end of experience. There is only what's happening now. And that's what's important. And how we look at it is important, too, because how we look at it shapes our perception and our experience of the present moment. So if we look at it as being at the tail end of a good day, a tail end of a call, a tail end of a life, a tail end of a relationship, the end of something, then we're already shaping our perception of it in a limiting way. And there's actually nothing limited at all about experience and about our life. And the other thing I wanted to say is that when it comes to authentic power, it's not I that is committed to helping it, to helping create it. Authentic power is a part of an enormous transformation in consciousness that's now occurring. It's a transformation that in a few generations will affect every single human on this planet. And that transformation is the expansion of perception beyond the limitations of the five senses. And that's what's happening to millions of us now. We're beginning to sense ourselves as more than we thought we were, as more than bodies and minds. And we're beginning to sense our lives as more than random and as meaningful. And we thirst for that meaning. We thirst to give the gifts that we were born to give. And this is much more than an identity crisis. It's much more than a midlife crisis. It is the emergence of a new human, a new multisensory human. And along with that emergence, which is happening now throughout our species, throughout our experience, comes a new potential, many of them. One of them is authentic power, not the old type of power, which is manipulation and control, but authentic power, the alignment of your personality with your soul, the ability to create naturally and joyfully a life of harmony and cooperation and sharing and reverence for life, and to bring that energy into your life and through your life into the Earth School. And pardon me?
I was just going to say, I love the way you make that distinction between old school power and authentic power, aligning with your soul. And I'd love to just hear more about that process of how does one align with their soul?
With awareness and volition. But it's a process that will help you tremendously if you know a little bit about it. I knew nothing about it for a long period of my life, which is appropriate because we've only been in this new territory of human experience for a relatively short period of time, less than two decades. And about two decades. And when I got out of Harvard, I so much wanted to prove myself or to feel worthy as a man, and I enlisted in the Army, I enlisted in the infantry, then I applied for the Special Forces, then I went to jump school, then to Special Forces Warfare School, all of that time, I was not aware of how frightened I was of so many things. For example, I knew that I was frightened to parachute. I knew that night equipment jumps were terrifying to me. I knew that night patrols into Laos, top secret, and all of that were frightening, extremely frightening. But I didn't realize how frightened I was of not living up to my own expectations or the expectations that I thought other people had of me. And I didn't realize how frightened I was of trying and failing or of being ridiculed. And as a result, the fears that I didn't know I had picked me right up out of Cambridge, Massachusetts, and put me into the Army, first Fort Gordon, then Fort Benning, then Fort Bragg, and then to Asia, where I was the executive officer of an A detachment, a 12-man A team in Vietnam. So that's where I began. When I got out, I spent a lot of my life riding motorcycles, experimenting with drugs. I was a sex addict. I was angry. I was emotionally violent, sometimes physically violent. But here's the thing. I thought I was manly. It's interesting how you can be drawn into hell and think that it's heaven. Looking back on it now, that wasn't heaven. What I've been describing to you are experiences of powerlessness, of having no power at all, of being controlled completely by external circumstances, whether it's somebody that triggers my anger or my macho need to prove myself, or whether it's a willing sexual partner and finding myself unable to say no to a woman who's willing to have sex with me. These are all experiences of having no power in your life, in this case, in my life. What I'm talking about now is very different from that. It's a life of emotional awareness, of becoming aware of what you are experiencing emotionally in terms of physical sensations in your body. The life of recognizing the painful physical sensations in your body that come with emotions that are based in fear, such as anger and jealousy and rage and resentment and inferiority and superiority, and instead of acting on them, turning your attention inward to the physical sensations in your body, say in the vicinity of your throat area and your chest area and your solar plexus area, feeling them, and they'll be painful. And while you're feeling them, instead of acting on them by shouting or withdrawing, lashing out at someone with your words or your fist or your thoughts, instead, in that moment, reach for healthiest, most grounded, most loving part of your personality that you can access, and choose instead to speak from that part of your personality. That's creating authentic power. You ask me by email to have a practice to give to the people who are listening. I would suggest that. Next time you're upset in any way, angry, frustrated, impatient, judgmental, needing to please, can't stop eating, can't stop watching pornography or drinking or smoking or gambling or working, stop. Turn your attention inward. Develop that skill. And if you have the courage and the ability, feel what you are feeling. Feel the physical sensations in your body and then challenge that experience. Challenge that part of your personality by not acting on it. Wow. Well, Stephen, that was an excellent question.
And an even better answer. So part of what I'm hearing is that our masculine conditioning is precisely in the opposite direction of authentic power. We learn to dissociate from our feelings and split off from the body and do all this and call that power. And then you end up in a lot of these cycles of violence or sex addiction or, as you're saying, as a substitute for that authentic power.
Yes, we're actually going much deeper than that. It's not male conditioning. It's not a matter of environment. It's not a matter of heredity. It is a matter of human experience. All of us have a shared and common pain. That's the pain of powerlessness. That is the experience of feeling so you want to belong and you don't belong. The feeling of wanting to love and not being able. The feeling of needing to be loved and feeling that you're unlovable. Feeling that you're intrinsically flawed, inherently defective, so that if people could see you the way you actually are, they wouldn't want to have anything to do with you. And this doesn't have anything to do with conditioning. It doesn't have anything to do with being brought up the way we were taught males should behave. Females experience this, and males experience this, the pain of powerlessness. And in the past, we reached outward to try to mask that pain by shaping the world around us, by manipulating and controlling people and things. But now we're in new evolutionary territory, and that doesn't work anymore. The pursuit of external power produces only violence and destruction. It produces it in Iraq and Afghanistan. It produces it at home with your spouse. It produces it wherever it is applied. The only thing that will now carry us forward is the creation of authentic power. That is, we are now a species that is evolving through growing spiritually, and that requires awareness and choice. And everything that my spiritual partner, Linda, and I share in all of our talks and workshops and books, and everything we do at the Seat of the Soul Institute, is to support people in creating authentic power. So I will suggest to all of the men who are listening and all of the women who are listening that you not take anything that I say as so or as true because it's said. And I would suggest that you not take anything that anybody says as true simply because they say it or they write it. Instead, see what you resonate with. And if you resonate with anything that I say or that you hear or experience in your life, then take the time to be with that. Experiment with it. See what it produces in your life. And if you like what it produces, if it's healthy, if it's loving, if it's caring, then develop it some more. Become the authority in your own life. You ask about spiritual partnership, and that is not a romantic kind of relationship. It is a partnership between equals for the purpose of spiritual growth. And that means you can create a spiritual partnership with your wife or your husband, with your biological family, with your co-workers, with your classmates. But in order to do that, you have to be someone who has made spiritual growth. That means developing the ability to recognize within yourself the difference between love and fear. Create love and choose love no matter what is going on inside of you and what is going on outside of you. That's the creation of authentic power. And if you're doing that, or if you're interested in it, and especially if you're committed to that, you will attract others who are also committed to that. And they will be your potential spiritual partners. And they will not support the frightened parts of your personality. If you lose a job, they won't try to make you feel better. They won't say, come on out, let's have a drink. If you have a divorce, they won't say, well, you're a great-looking guy. Look, my secretary's been eyeing you for 3 months, and she's a dynamite girl. Why don't we go out, you and her and me and my wife, and you get to know her a little bit? Don't worry. Everything is going to be fine. These are the kind of things that friends say to friends. A spiritual partner will say, what are you feeling? Where are you feeling that? You felt that? Spiritual partner will help another spiritual partner look inside to find the interior source, the interior dynamic that is generating the pain that is tormenting him or her. That pain tormented me for ages, and I tried, it seems like ages, and I tried to cover it with sex, with drinking, with drugs, with motorcycles, with the military. But in the end, and there will come an end, whether you address these things in your life before that or not, in the end, you will come to know your personality and to develop the ability to challenge those parts that are creating painfully and destructively and cultivate those parts that are creating joyfully and constructively. It may not be in this lifetime, but I am here to say clearly that it can be. And in fact, that's why we're alive, is to do that. I'm grateful for this chance to speak to men and to the women who are listening as they learn more about men on this summit that you've put together, Stephen.
That's fantastic. And one thing that's often true, even when we have a deep spiritual partnership, is that it will bring out the youngest, most scared or frightened parts of ourselves, or even most regressive when at times. And I'm curious what you found to be most helpful in working with those different sides of ourselves in the service of finding the more authentic power.
Well, it's not spiritual partnerships that bring these out. It's life that brings these out. You go through your life, you are always encountering people and circumstances, and all of them generate different emotional experiences in you. Some of these emotions originate in fear, and some originate in love. This happens whether you've ever heard the term authentic power or not, and whether or not you ever heard the term spiritual partnership. But when you understand that your life is designed to help you grow spiritually so that you can grow spiritually, when you understand that all of your experiences, including the most painful and what other people would call the most tragic, are not your obstacles to spiritual growth, they are your avenues to spiritual growth. You recognize that, you will cherish spiritual partners who see life the same way, because then they will not squander their time with you trying to address how you can feel sad less often, or how you can feel less sad or less angry, or sympathizing with you because another partner has left you, or your children aren't speaking with you, or you've not succeeded. They will instead help you see internal dynamics that are creating your joy and your pain so that you can consciously create a life of more joy and less pain, of more love and less fear, of more meaning and less emptiness. That is the creation of authentic power, and spiritual partners are each committed to creating it themselves because they know that only they can create it for themselves. I can't create it for you, Stephen. Or for any of the people who are listening to us, you can't create it for me. Only I can know what my intention is when I speak or I act, and know whether it's an intention of love or of fear, and challenge it if I want to speak, if a part of my personality wants to speak with the intention to manipulate, to control, to be right, to influence others, to win favor, to prey on another person psychologically or emotionally or sexually or financially. I can know that, and you can know it about you as well. And I say this for all of the men and the women who are listening. You experience that, know that you have an opportunity to grow spiritually in that moment. There are always moments like that, moments to challenge your love. Pardon me, I misspoke. I put that in reverse. Moments to challenge your fears and cultivate your love. And when you see that your life, from the beginning of it to the end, is designed to offer you these opportunities continually, then you begin to see your life for the precious thing that it is. It's not an accident. Time to walk on the earth is a remarkable time. The human is not an accidental experience, no matter how accidental it may seem. It is a dramatic act of spiritual responsibility. You awaken to your life in that way. Come to love people who know about authentic power and people who don't. People who are striving to become responsible and aware, and people who are lost in fear, who are not responsible, not aware, and continually creating pain with anger, with judgment. And you begin to have compassion for them and compassion for yourself when you do the same. And then you begin to soften. That's been my journey, an angry, young man to an angry young soldier, which is really not a journey at all, it's just more of the same. To who I am and am still becoming, that's the journey. That's the journey to authentic power. These are the things I love to share.
It's clear that your passion is very contagious, and I'm curious what you think specifically with men. So the vision you paint is very very beautiful, and if you notice that there are common hurdles or barriers that the men have to overcome in order to really embrace this notion of spiritual partnership.
Well, yes, but it's even bigger than that. As I mentioned, this huge transformation of human consciousness and a new potential of authentic power instead of external power. Another potential that's emerging, and we are experiencing it within ourselves, is the emergence of the new male and the new female. And this is happening whether we create it or not. It's happening in us and we can feel it. The old male, for example, gets meaning and purpose and satisfaction and fulfillment by providing and protecting. That's what a new male, that's what an old male is a provider and a protector. New male is emotionally competent. The new male is intuitive. The new male is tender. The new male can laugh and cry. The new male cares about the young and the ill and the elderly. The new male does not prove himself or need to prove himself at the expense of others. The new male has no need to compete. The new male is drawn to harmony and cooperation and sharing and reverence for life. And the new male has the courage to create these as he awakens in a world of discord and competition and hoarding and exploitation. What do you do when you wake up thirsting for health and balance and wholeness? And the world in which you've awakened is a world in which life is a cheap commodity. This is the question that millions of us, men and women, are needing to ask ourselves and must ask ourselves one way or another, because all of us who are becoming multisensory are beginning to thirst for the intentions of the soul. And this world is a world that is based on external power. It's a carryover from all of our millennia of evolution until now. That's how big this transformation is, and that's how big a role each of us play in it. No longer a matter of trying to convince others to be better people. It's no longer a matter of waiting for the 100th monkey or hoping that we are. It's a matter of realizing that transformation in ourselves and transformation in our world depends on me. Depends on you. Excuse me again.
That's fine. It's great to listen to you. And I'm curious if you could paint more of a picture, since we are at this turning point in our civilization, and we are reformulating the new male and the new female, and really the foundations of a new society. If you could paint a bit more of a picture of how you see our society shifting in the coming decades.
I'd be glad to, and it's not just our society. If we think in terms of our society, we're thinking very small. We're thinking of a maybe white society, black society, male society, female society, American society. But all of these societies and the civilizations from which they spring are all composed of humans who are in transformation now and will be for the next several generations. So as I talk about the new male and the new female, it's not in our society or in any particular society. It is in the human experience. So the old male, who was a provider and a protector, would seek as a partner the old female. The old female gained her fulfillment and satisfaction from bearing and raising children. She was the one who cooked, who tended the fire, while the provider and the protector did those things. And together they made a remarkable team. It was a natural division of labor with which we're all familiar, and its purpose was to enhance the probability of survival. And once survival is assured, comfort. But that is no longer what the new male wants. The old female is not attractive to him. The new female now attracts him. The new female is no longer just a bearer and a raiser of children. The new female is competent in every social endeavor that she attempts. The new female can be not only a mother or a nanny or an assistant, a personal assistant if she chooses. She can also be the head of a state, the head of an aircraft. She can be a soldier. She can be a construction worker, a plumber, a craftsman, a draftsman, an architect. She is limited only by her own interests and aptitudes. She doesn't need a male to provide for her. She can buy her own BMW and her own second home. The new female is looking for a partner to share the challenging, very challenging journey of spiritual growth. And that is exactly what the new male is looking for. The new male doesn't need the old female to make him feel lovable or warm or intuitive or to bring love and tenderness into his life. He's tender, he's loving, he's intuitive. The new male and the new female form a new kind of relationship, and that's spiritual partnership. Now, as I said before, though, spiritual partnership is not only a dyadic relationship. My spiritual partner, Linda Francis, and I have been in a dyadic relationship for about 17 years, and we're married also. But our primary relationship is a spiritual partnership. And that is how we grow together. But our granddaughters and we are also in a spiritual partnership. And it's remarkable. It's a remarkable experience. We started that when they were about 6 and 8, preconceptual, so I couldn't talk to them in these ways, but we could model what we were doing. Now they're 14 and 16. We are in spiritual partnerships with many of the people who've been in our 3-year program. We're in spiritual partnerships with many of the people with whom we live. So spiritual partnership is something that you can create. It'll be the only type of relationship that will be satisfying to you, because spiritual growth now requires relationships of substance and depth. Friendships are not deep enough or substantive enough, nor do they direct themselves toward what is most, toward that which most people are now yearning for, and soon all will yearn for, and that is spiritual growth. So this is the world that we're in now. We're in a world of transformation. We're in an old world that is becoming dysfunctional on the way to dissolution. And as this happens, we are simultaneously witnessing a new world that is emerging like grass in the spring to replace all of our old and malfunctioning social structures with new, that are built on the perception of external power, with new social structures that are built on the perception of power authentic, and interpersonal structures that are now destructive because they are based on the perception of external power, with new interpersonal structures that are wholesome and healthy and constructive because they are based on the perception of power as authentic, as the alignment of the personality with the soul. All of this is what we men have to look forward to. And we don't have to look far forward to it. All we need to do is open our eyes. It's the life that we're living now. And if it's not the life that you're living now, then the distance between you and that life is the distance that you need to travel in order to move into your own fulfillment. Your world is still angry and jealous and resentful and out of control the way mine was. Then all of those experiences are your spiritual path. They're your curriculum in the Earth School. And if your life has become more caring, loving, the way the lives of, I feel, many of the speakers that I know on this conference are living, then you have less distance to travel. You have more love in your life, more joy, more satisfaction, but there's still more distance to travel. I still get angry. I still get jealous. I still get into power struggles with Linda. And they're still as painful as they ever were. But I know that all of those are experiences of parts of my personality, frightened parts. They're not coming from the ground, the unchangeable ground of my being. And in you, they're not either. They're coming from parts of your personality that you can experience and challenge and change. In fact, that you were born to experience and challenge and change. And by the way, I invite you to come to our website, which is Seat of the Soul, S-E-A-T, like what you sit on, of the S-O-U-L.com. It's named after a book that I wrote, The Seat of the Soul. And you'll find there spiritual partnership guidelines. And you'll find there interviews and articles and questions and answers and a soul blog. And I invite you, and lots of video, lots of audio, I invite you to come there and look around. Make yourself at home and come back often. I'm continually answering questions and posting new articles, and so is Linda. And I'm hoping that our paths will cross. I would love to meet you personally.
That's a very generous offer, and I think you also, didn't you also have a special downloadable guide for this summit, for this call?
Oh my gosh, thank you so much, Stephen, for reminding me of this. You know, for so long, I have felt dissatisfied giving a talk or a workshop or even an interview with no way to provide support after the interaction, and now I have one. I have created a mini website specifically for us, for you. I'm talking now about the people who are on this call, live, and those who will come to it archived. This website is designed to continue the experience that you're having now. So if there's anything in this experience that you're resonating with or that you feel is valuable for you, you can continue it by going to SeatOfTheSoul.com, that's our website, /new mail. So all you have to remember is new mail. SeatOfTheSoul.com/new mail. And you'll be on this new website. Now, please be understanding and forgiving. We've only put this together in the last couple of days, and it's a 5 or 6 page website dedicated just for what we're talking about now. So if something on it doesn't work or the video doesn't work right, well, just know that it's going to be perfected because I'm going to create a lot more of these. I'm so very excited about being able to support people after an event. And by the way, we have a 5-day retreat, Linda and I, called Journey to the Soul, and we give it only once a year, and this year it's July 24th to the 28th, and it's on Mount Hood, just outside of Portland, Oregon. And there's not many spaces left. We're limited by the number of rooms at this venue. And I hope that if you'd like an experience of creating authentic power and spiritual partnership, that you will come to the Journey to the Soul. But if that's not something that you want to do, you don't want to make the step from an interview that you hear to a 5-day retreat, then go to this special mini website. This is designed specifically for you, specifically for men who are looking at what it means to be a new male, and for women who are looking at what it means to be a new female. But in this case, it's for men and for the women who are interested in learning about men. And this website will tell you what we discussed. It'll give you a handout, and that handout, by the way, is the Spiritual Partnership Guidelines. It will give you suggestions about how to experience being a new male every day. It will give you resources that you can call upon to support you, and it'll give you a way to email me, and that's simple. It's just Gary@seatofthesoul.com, and let me know what you think about this mini website and how I can make it better. And then, of course, after you go to that mini website, then journey on. Go into the main website and see what's there for you. And you can always continue. You can always return to the mini website that continues this talk by re-entering seatofthesoul.com, new mail.
Beautiful. Also, just letting people know if you would like to us to directly share your email with Gary to get information about that upcoming retreat or other activities, just touch one on your keypad right now if you're on the live line, and we can straight over to Gary and his assistant.
How about people who come on who hear this call on archive? Can they do that too?
No, not on archive. They'll have to go to the website. But
okay, on
those who are live.
Okay, if you're listening to a recording, then please come to seatofthesoul.com/newmail, and you can give us your email there. I'm really enjoying this talk, Stephen, because for me it's been quite a journey from implacable, unsatiable addiction to sex and violence and my own image of the Marlboro Man, manliness, into an appreciation of how exquisite this world is that we live in, and how perfectly appropriate it is in every moment for our spiritual growth, given the wisdom of the choices that we've made. And I would have argued against all of these views vehemently at one time in my life.
Well, that's a sign of true evolution when you can hold views that you once derided. So I think it's great that you followed that arc that our whole culture is really going through is a whole new vision of what it means to be a man, what it means to be in a body, what it means to be in relationship. And I'm just curious if there's other practical tips and suggestions that you have for men who are hearing that call and perhaps in the intermediate zone where they're sometimes in less conscious modes of relationship, but really aspiring to create the kind of partnership that you've described.
Well, then go back to that exercise that I mentioned at the beginning of this talk. The next time that you're upset, the next time that you're angry, see if you can experience what you're feeling as fully as you can without acting on it, without speaking in it, without acting in it, without stomping out, putting your fist through a wall, withdrawing emotionally, doing any of the things that you used to do, or maybe that you're still doing. There's no power in that. No power at all. But if you have the ability to feel anger, and I don't mean just to say, I'm angry now, get out of my way. That's not feeling anger. That's being controlled by it. I mean to stand in it. Put your attention inward into your chest area, your solar plexus area, your throat area, and stay there until you feel what physical sensations you are feeling. Even if you're so enraged, all you can do is stand there and tremble, and the best you can do is clench your fist and clench your jaw with the determination not to speak in anger. Do that. And when you do that, you step into another universe, because your energy continually draws to it like energy. So while you are going through the world feeling anger, lashing out with your anger in order to mask the pain of it, you drew to yourself other people who were also angry and not caring whether they expressed it or not, or whether or what they did with it or not. But when you develop the mastery even to stand trembling in rage without acting on it, then you draw to yourself people who are equally determined to become a master in their lives. What kind of people would you like to have in your life? You choose every time you become angry, every time you feel out of control, every time you become enraged. I'll give you a story. There was a Zen master named Hakuin, and he was quite famous in the 16th century. And a samurai who heard of Hakuin's fame came to him with a genuine question, and he said, "What is the difference between heaven and hell?" Well, samurai were very dangerous people. They had license to kill. They carried weapons to do it, and they used them. Hakuin, instead of giving him an answer that the samurai wanted, said, "Oh, you're a samurai. Look at you. You call yourself a samurai. You need a shave. I bet you haven't shaved in a week." Now, the samurai is suddenly alarmed. Nobody speaks to a samurai like that. So the samurai says, "Oh," and he puts his hand on the hilt of his sword. Hakuin says, "Oh, I see you have a sword. It's probably rusty, considering how you look. This was it. The samurai now was enraged, and he began to withdraw his sword from the scabbard. It means that Akulin is dead. At this moment, Akulin says to the samurai, "Here, open the gates of hell." The samurai stopped, stood there for a minute, then grunted and rammed his sword back into his sheath. Akulin said, "Here, open the gates of heaven. Do you have the courage to do what the samurai did when your sword is halfway out of its sheath? If so, you are developing mastery in your life. If not, you are controlled by your life. That is not masculine. That is powerlessness. As you become a new male, and as you create authentic power with your awareness and with your choice, you redefine masculinity, just as you redefine power and just as you redefine your life from one of fear to one of love. That's the journey that's offered to all of us now. It's not a journey that we have to take. But if we don't take it, we don't change. If we don't change, we're in pain, anxiety, tormented by all of the old fears. Growing healthy now is more than self-improvement, self-help, psychological self-worth. It is spiritual growth, and it is required to move into your full potential. And only that is going to bring you the life that you long for. That's a male. That's a man. That's a new male. Very different from the old male. You are a new male. You can hear, my adopted Sioux uncle once told me, went on a vision quest. He said, "Tonshka, nephew, let yourself melt into the Creator's tenderness." That's a good practice. That's the second.
That's a great practice,
Stephen.
That's a beautiful practice. Well, we're nearing the end of our time together, just a couple minutes left, and love for you, as we come to a closure, just to share, just what do you really see as your next growing edge of becoming a new male yourself? I mean, I think it's great to always hear what we're each leaning into as well.
My next edge is, after this call, going to speak with Linda, because I was in a power struggle with her about an hour ago, and to experience all of the things that I've been experiencing and not relate to her in that way. And that doesn't mean saying, "I'm sorry, dear." That doesn't have anything to do with it. It means looking at the part of my personality that for a moment lost track of the love that I have for this remarkable, powerful, clear, beautiful, relational, giving, and strong human being in my life. And choosing to see her that way rather than the way that a frightened part of my personality was seeing her. That is my next step in my spiritual growth. I want to write some books too. We're creating a new event for the Journey to the Soul. But this is my next step, Stephen.
And that is,
yes,
beautiful, honest, and very real, and right in the moment. And I think that's absolutely where the rubber meets the road for all of us, is just taking whatever ideas and theories and heartfelt sharings we have and applying it right here in the moment. And I think that for me also, spiritual partnership is at the foundation, because that's where it all gets very real. So thank you for modeling that for us.
It's a joy, Stephen. It's good to speak with you again, and it's so good to speak with all of my fellow men and fellow women who are listening to this call. I hope that our paths cross soon. Please come visit me on our website, seatofthesoul.com, and even better than that, send me an email. I'd love to hear from you, gary@seatofthesoul.com.
That's great. Thank you for that generosity and extending your email to everyone. So So you are free to go take that next step of your own spiritual partnership and embodiment of everything you've been sharing. And so I think that that's a wrap for today for the rest of us. And we have a rich day tomorrow. But for now, what we can do is for people who are drawn to connect with each other and just do some sharing, intimate, heartfelt, whatever has truth and meaning and value for you, we can put you in groups of three or four now to discuss. So if you'd like to be in a group with other people, just touch one on your keypad right now, and we'll do that, put you in a group shortly. And tomorrow we'll have another rich day of programming. So we'll just go ahead and just leave that for the summit. But we begin with Claudio Naranjo at 10 a.m., he's a renowned psychotherapist and really a pioneer of the human potential movement. So it's going to be a special treat to hear from him at 10 a.m. tomorrow. So those of you who want to be in discussion groups, when we ring the bell, you'll be in discussion groups. And those of you who are just on to the rest of your night, thank you so much for joining us here for this heartfelt 45 minutes with Gary Zukav.